Okay, so today is the 12th of January 2018. It is the 25th of Tevis, as Sam so kindly has demonstrated. And it's Friday, it's Erev Shabbos. So we have today is Rishonim Day on the 10th chapter of Vayikra, Perek Yud. A couple of very interesting things happen over the course of this perek. It is the death of the two of Nadav and Avihu, two of the sons of Aaron, for doing something. And that's the first question: what are the possibilities of what they may have done? Then there is the issue of the consolation of Moshe to Aaron and Aaron's response. And then there is the idea of Avelus, which Aaron was not supposed to do. And then there is this dispute at the end about the eating of the Karbanos. And Moshe seems to have gotten agitated and upset at Aaron, and Aaron gave him an answer. Or Aaron, explained why he was doing what he was doing. Okay, so it started way in the beginning of the parak. So by who? B'nei Aaron and Davi Avihu. So B'nei Aaron, the two sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu. They placed in it a fire. They seemed like they put Ketores in. They brought in front of Hashem, which Hashem had not commanded them. So Rashi gives the two explanations. Now in Eila Shahuru, that the problem was that they paskin halacha in front of Moshe. They did something which Moshe hadn't commanded. The other issue, thing that he raises is that they might have been drunk at the time. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, that they were drunk, and that's why. Where do we have any indication that there is any type of drunkenness? Well, the indication comes in the middle of the parak, when the very next commandment is, make sure you don't serve Hashem while you're drunk. Make sure you don't go and do avodah in the base of Mikdash under those circumstances. So perhaps we learn from there what it is that that caused this problem. So that is the pshat that Rashi gives. The what else do we want to see here? Okay, so the Sforno comments, what is it that they did? So, or what was their Havamina? Now, again, we run into one of these problems that we've run into sometimes. That is, our assumption is that Aaron's sons, Nadav and Avihu, that they were great. In fact, we'll see that they were greater than the other two sons, Elazar and Itamar, Nadav and Avihu, were considered greater than them. So, if they're so great, how could they have sinned? So, we try to mitigate the sin. On the other hand, if you mitigate the sin too much, so then, well, what they do that was so bad that called them to be, that caused them to be put to death. So, Sforno is on the sin mitigation team. Now, if you recall, the Sforno, we had this Sforno recently, where he made reference to his explanation of the Chet Egel and Aaron's sin by the Chet Egel, or what was Aaron's role, and the Sforno mitigated that as well. So we're beginning perhaps to see a pattern with regards to the Sforno's understanding of various sins that show up over the course of the Chumash. So how does the Sforno come and mitigate the sin? Or he explains, what were they possibly thinking? So the way that we normally think about it is that this is totally out of the blue, that Moshe had his commands and Aaron had his commands, and all of a sudden these guys jump in and say, oh, we're going to go ahead and do something completely different. That's our assumption. So the Sforno mitigates it somewhat by saying, Chashru Shekemosha Achar Tamid, right? They knew that after the Korban Tamid is brought. So what's the immediate thing that's done after the Korban Tamid is brought? The Ketores is brought. As the pasuk says, Olas Tamid Dorosecha Pesach Al Modlich Ne'Hashem, that the Tamid is brought, and that's where and the Shechina is supposed to be represented. The Shechina is supposed to come down when the Korban Tamid is brought. So Tavah Ketores, then the Ketores is brought. So Kach Hayaroy LaHakir Ketores Chadasha Ata. So they thought that therefore it is befitting to have a Ketores now. Al Hagalus Hakavod Hashem El Kol Am VeYiridas Eish. The fact that it worked, that Hashem revealed Himself to the people and allowed the fire to come down and consume it. So they said, ah, that's the sign. After we see that happen, you're supposed to have Ketores brought. And that was their cheshbon. That's what they were thinking about when they went ahead and brought Velchein Hikrivu Lufnei Hashem Mizbeach HaPnimi. That's when they went in and brought in the Ketores on the inner Mizbeach. The Gam. Imaya royal asud, but they made a mistake, right? Because if they were fitting to do this, haya imhaya mitsuvimba, begam imhaya royal asos kach imayu mitsuvimba, chetu lasoso. Where does he go to? Ata. It was a sin to do now. Why? Asher lo tzivaosa. Plus they weren't commanded to do it. As it says, Shehoru halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabbeinu. They passed into halacha in front of their Rebbe. So that is explaining how these two, Sforno is really putting these two answers together. They brought an Eish Zara. They brought this fake fire. Why did they do this? Well, they were, they, they figured that you were supposed to, that's the way it works, that after a korban is brought, and after the fire comes down, and after Hashem's Shekhinah is revealed, a ketores must be brought. So, if that's the case, what was their sin then? Well, they weren't commanded to do it. They did it. They were paskin talacha in front of the Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu. So there you go. Right, so that sort of is really explaining an important question here. Why would you possibly think that that's the sin when they went ahead and brought ketores in the Mishkan? Why would I possibly think if they brought this alternative korban that isn't supposed to be offered and there's no commandment to do so? So why would I possibly overlook that sin and just look at the paskin the halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu? That's the only issue. To which this Sfarno gives you an explanation now. Well, I can give you an explanation as to why they thought it was appropriate to bring the Ketores. We can actually figure out how that begins to make sense. If that begins to make sense, so then now I understand why they wouldn't die just by merely bringing this Ketores. So why are they dying then? Well, they're dying because they passed the halacha wrongly in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the pshat that the Sfarno is giving. Okay, fine. So continue on a little bit. There is this very cryptic verse that every year you look at it, and it's a lot of focus is perhaps on Aaron's perspective. But what is it that Moshe is talking about here? Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Vayomer Moshe el Aaron. Moshe says to Aaron, right, this is right after they die. Hu asher diber Hashem lemor b'krovai kadesh. This is what Hashem meant when he said to my closest ones will sanctify the Mishkan. V'yapnei kol ha-mechabein will be honored in front of the entire nation by Dom Aaron. And Aaron was silent. What in the world is he talking about there? So Rashi says, Hecha Davar, where did this happen? Where did this get spoken about? That, well, he digs up this pasuk in Parshas Ki Tisa, that I'll be known to Bnei Yisrael, and I'll be sanctified by them. Ati b'chvodi, I'll be michubadi, right? My honored ones are going to figure, but through them I will be sanctified. So Moshe said to Aaron, my brother, I knew that Hashem was going to, Aisi Shizkai Shabbais, b'miyuedas shel makom v'ayis, I knew that Hashem was going to sanctify the base of Migdash by way of one of the ones intimate with him. I figured it would be me or you. Now I see that it's them. What? Anybody else like bothered by this? What in the world are we talking about here? That Hashem was going in order to sanctify the base of Migdash, somebody has to die? Right? Bruce, you okay?
I don't know that it's specifically to sanctify the base of Migdash.
But that's what he's talking about. Yudea Yisi Sheyiskadish Habayis B'miyudav Shalmakom. That this house will be sanctified by those that are intimate with Hashem. And the implication being is, so there it is. That's why they had to die. So you have two big problems here. First of all, that doesn't sound like our religion. that such a thing. This isn't just like breaking a bottle of wine on the hull of a ship, right? This is a little more than that. The second problem that one would have with that is, we just spent the first two psukim trying to figure out what their sin was. So Moshe is now turning to Aaron and saying, "Well, you know, it had to happen." But Aaron doesn't recognize that there's a sin going on here. So is it maybe just Moshe giving him some words of consolation? It's not true. What does that mean? So I couldn't find too much to speak about. That is certainly the explanation given by Rashi. But the Rashbam. The Rashbam is the Pashtun, right? The Rashbam is always trying to find the simplest explanation of the verse. Cut out all the midrashim. How do you read the text itself? Comes the Rashbam and says, "I'll tell you what's going on here." Ve'amus lifnei Hashem umiyad kisheshama Aaron hayerotzel haniach avoda lizavel abanov. So when Aaron heard about this, what did he want to do? But Aaron hears that his two sons died. So what does Aaron want to do? Right? Aaron wants to mourn. What? He wants to make sure they're buried. He wants to go into mourning. So Moshe turns, well, that's the end. At the end of this verse, Aaron is silent. But why is Moshe saying what he's saying to Aaron? So the premise is that when somebody, a relative, dies, so the relative is going to go into mourning. So that's what the Rashbam says is really going on here. Aaron hears about this, and he wants to put away the avoda, put aside the avoda, and he wants to be misavel. He wants to mourn for his sons. So by Yomer Moshe Aaron al tisavel. So Moshe is saying to Aaron, don't be misavel vil al tivche. Don't mourn, don't cry, vil techla min avoda, and don't stop doing the avoda. Why? Ki adavar hazer asher ani omer lecha hu asher diber Hashem b'kurvay kadesh. That's what, because of this reason, the thing that I'm about to tell you, Hashem is sanctified by those that are closest to Him. What's the sanctification? So the pshat that one gets, the implication one gets from Rashi is that somehow the house is sanctified because someone died as a result. Rashbam is saying that has nothing to do with that. Moshe is telling Aaron, don't stop doing the avoda because the Beis HaMikdash is sanctified by those closest to him, meaning you. You're the Kohen Gadol. You have a job to do. You have a responsibility to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So Moshe is telling Aaron, don't stop. You have avodah to do. And you have a job to do. You have a unique role. Right? But Kohanim Gadolim, Akrovim Elai, L'Shar Sani, Ani Rotsu L'Yiskadish. With the Kohanim Gadolim, those are the ones that I want to be sanctified through. V'loshi Yischal L'Shemi V'Avodasi. And not that my name and my avodah should be mischal, should be put aside, should be made non-holy. And that's how he explained the next part, that I heard that you're not supposed to do any forms of avelus, you can't leave the base of Mikdash, and don't be machal the Mishkan. The Rashbam throws in, and there's no order to the Torah. And that's what he's selling to him. Right? Those next sections, the very next couple of psukim, where it talks about that you're not allowed to observe any avoda, this is the reason. You're not allowed to do any avoda because you're needed to do the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the pshat that the Rashbam gives. It's interesting, the Rashbam, right, we've mentioned many times, right? Who's the one who doesn't care about the order of the Torah? Doesn't care too much about the order of the Torah. He's very quick to say, "Ein mukdam u'mu'uchar b'Torah." Who's that? Rashi, right? And the Ramban is the one who's always, no, you got to figure out an order. What's pshat? What's the simplest explanation? Is the simplest explanation to say there's no order to the Torah, or the simplest explanation to say there is an order to the Torah?
Order.
I would say there's an order, right? So the Rashbam is very quickly say, oh, ein muktam u'char, there's no order to the Torah. Rashi, right? Don't forget, the Rashbam is Rashi's grandson. The Ramban is a different part of the world. So it's very interesting. It seems, I don't know, I'm not one of these Rashbam scholars. There are those that are very, very into the Rashbam. I'm not a Rashbam expert, but it seems like the Rashbam is ready to incorporate the orderlessness of the Torah into pshat of the Torah. You gotta learn more Rashbams to see if that's a pattern that he incorporates, to see how often does he do it. I mean, does the Rashbam, when there's Machlokas, Rashi, and Ramban about the order of the Torah, which sides of the Rashbam take? Please, here, in terms of him attempting to give a pshat to the pasuk, he quickly says, oh, and to enhance my pshat, let's flip the parak around. Right? That's what he's doing. Okay. And then he continues on and says, right, what's the next line in the Chumash? I'll be honored in front of the entire nation. Not like Rashi says, therefore I'll be sanctified because there was death. No, I'll be sanctified, Hashem says, because the Kohen Gadol is doing my avoda, like I commanded. So what's Aaron's response? Vayidom Aaron. So again, the response, according to Rashi's pshat, it's Aaron's silence. It's his acceptance of the din. The Rashbam says, no. Right? Vayidom Aaron is silent. Me aveluso. He is silent from his mourning. Right? He's silent from his mourning. He doesn't mourn. Why doesn't he mourn? V'lo bacha v'lo yisavel. He doesn't cry. He doesn't mourn. As we learn from a pasuk in Yecheskel, that you see, he's silent, he doesn't mourn. And he's silent here. V'zehu muser v'amitas pshuto. He adds it. And this is the correct pshat. This is the simplest pshat, says the Rashbam. And then he goes on and says, "Aval ba'agada." If you look in the Gemara and if you look in the Medrashim, so there you have this idea of Moshe coming to Aaron and saying that you're going to be in my honor. I thought it'd be me. And he goes ahead and quotes that, but he's very quick to say that's not the pshat. That's the drash. The pshat is like what we're saying, right? Which is not what we're used to. We're used to jumping straight to the pshat on this pasuk. The Rashbam says, "Oh, take a step back. You can read this pasuk having nothing to do with any of those challenges that we had." Okay. continue on a little. Let's go to Pasuk Dalet. So in Pasuk 4, so what does Moshe do? Vayikra Moshe el Mishael ve'el el Tzafan. So Moshe calls Mishael and el Tzafan b'nei Uziel dod Aaron. Like the sons of Uziel, who's Aaron's uncle, meaning they're Aaron's first cousins. And he says to them, Kirvu su esachichim eis p'nei HaKodesh. Go and get your brothers out of the Kodesh. And mechutz l'machaneh. Get them, and you're going to bring them outside the machaneh. So what's going on here? Who would I think should go in and get those bodies?
The brothers.
So why are Nadav and Avihu not going and getting the bodies? That's A. All right, another question with these guys. Who are these guys? What tribe are they?
Levites.
They're Levites, right? They're not Kohanim. Right? Who's going to go, if the bodies are inside, how are they going to go ahead and get them? Right, so why not the brothers? Why these guys? So the Ramban says, well, I found the Torah's Kohanim.
Can't be with dead bodies.
What? Correct. So Kohanim can't be with dead bodies, with a few with an exception. What's the exception to that? Two exceptions first to that rule.
Mother's father.
First degree, meaning those that you're mourning over, the seven closest relatives, you do become tummy for them, which that's A. Right at the Cohn funeral a couple of weeks ago, so the Cohns came in. Rabbi Cohn came in. I'd never been in that building before, and his grandchildren that were there were not allowed in the building. Right, those are grandchildren. They're not one of the seven relatives, and it's a you know, and that's it. You know, I have a friend told me who was a Cohen whose father passed away. So they go to the cemetery. And like, hey, now it's time to leave. And he like, you know, give me a few more minutes. I'm never going to be here again, right? Which is like, you know, the non-Kohanim don't think, you know, don't necessarily think in that way. So they would be allowed to. So in theory, Nadav and Avihu and Aaron would in theory be allowed to become tummy for this for their brother and son because that's one of the closest relatives, right? But there is an exception to that rule. Which Kohen is not permitted to become a tummy even for one of his seven relatives? A Kohen Gadol. Okay, so that knocks out Aaron, but who does it not knock out? Not the sons. So you got to work out who exactly are these. Who are these people? What roles are they playing? So comes the Ramban and says, "Matsasi b'toras kodesh parshas b'mulu Rabbi Elazar Omer lo meisu b'nei Aaron el b'chutz." He says, "Well, first of all, there is a medrash that tells us that that the sons of Aaron actually died outside the kodesh, outside the heichal. We don't think our image of it. I think is that they die inside the heichal. They walk in and then they're toasted. But the Ramban is saying no, that they actually were out. Ramban is quoting." It says there's an opinion that they actually died outside. And that's where Levi'im could go. Why does it say they died in front of Hashem? So he says, well, a malach went and took him outside. So that's opinion number one. Opinion number one is that the bodies were actually outside the Heichal. So how could Levi'im go and get them? What's Levi'im could walk there? That's opinion A. Opinion B, Rabbi Akiva Omer, however, right? Lo mesu el bifnim. No, they died in the inner sanctum, in the Heichal. Shnemar ve'ivus lifnei Hashem. Imkei lama nema v'ayikru v'ayisum v'kasno sam. If so, why does it say that they went in and got them? She'tilu behem chakos shel barzel v'garum v'otziim l'chutz. So what did they do? How did they go and fetch them? They took these metal hooks and pulled them outside. So that answers the other question, right? So why? How could these Levim go in? Well, they didn't go in. They were able to pull them in from the outside. But you're still left with the question, okay, why them? Not Aaron and not the two brothers, right? So Bahatam, so the Ramban continues.
Sha'at. Had to participate in the stone dedication. Oh.
So comes the Ramban and says, "V'atam she'afni shehem kushagam kohanim asurim levo beheichal el b'shas avoda." Says the truth is, even though kohanim are prohibited from going into the heichal unless they're actually going to do something there, inu el b'via rikanis. That's only if they're going in empty-handed. Aval hotzi misham tuma ol vedek abayis yichanis. But in order to go in order to take care of some tuma issue, like somebody died in there or something, or there's a dead sheretz laying around, or to clean the bayis, that they could do. So there are gemaras about this, about the, cleaning out the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that they had these like crates that they used to lower them into, etc. Right? But
they had in Jerusalem, they have this virtual base of Mikdash, and it's quite a huge
right
crate elevator. It's not just a
Oh, they have that those boxes about cleaning the inside of the Kodesh.
They have a freight elevator. I'm telling you, it's huge, and they can do anything from lifting it from above.
I mean, that's how they do stuff in this model Beis HaMikdash?
I understand.
Where is this model? In Israel?
It's in Yerushalayim. It's in a wonderful museum called the Music Museum of the Jewish People.
All right. I don't know. Len, put it on the list for next trip.
Next trip, you definitely have to go.
Someone's got
to
scout it out. Okay.
Near Ben Yehuda Street.
Well, that's a perfect place for the Beis HaMikdash. Sounds good. So you know what? There is a hidden gem right near Ben Yehuda's yeshiva. A friend of mine took me there. Rav Cook's yeshiva. This is like off the beaten track, but it's really, it's right off Shar Yafo. Rav Cook's original yeshiva, Merkaz Harav, which was also Rav Cook's house, is right there. They've kind of turned it into a museum. So if you're in that space and you...
The Tico House?
What?
The Tico House?
I don't remember what it's called. I don't remember. So if you find yourself in that area, so after you go to the Beis HaMikdash... near
Where?
Ben Yehuda Street. Near Ben Yehuda Street, you can find, there's a museum / it's the original Merkaz Harav, which is also where Rav Cook's house was. The yeshiva was attached to his house, so it's there. It's also near the Russian compound. That's what it's called, where the jail was, right, where Rav Aryeh Levin used to go and visit prisoners. Right, they're right near each other over there. Okay, so anyways, so the Ramban continues on and says, well, the Kohanim are not permitted to go with them unless they have a reason to, as we learn in Torah's Kohanim, in this matter, maybe they can't go in order to flatten the plates, in order to do work. So Talmud Lomer, ah, kachi mitzvah, that's their mitzvah, Kohanim nichnasim sham. So im ein sham Kohanim nichnasim sham Levim. If there are no Kohanim, the Gemara continues, even Levim are allowed to go in. Im ein tahorim nichnasim sham tameim. And if there are no tahorim, even tameim are allowed to go in. Im ein tamimim nichnasim sham balei mumen. If there aren't those that are tamim, meaning that they don't have any mums, you can even send them the mum in order to take care of work. I mean, that work needs to get done. So va'achsha v'yom hazeh ein sham kohanim. But today, there are no kohanim. Not today. Meaning on this day, on the eighth day, there's no kohanim. Why? Sharein istavu shelo yitamu lem. Was their command not to come tamei. Aval kevin shaya evshe v'chakos uv'greira lo yirushayim l'chanis l'sham. So in theory, the Levim could go in. These guys could go in. So why didn't they go in? Because they could use these sticks in order to pull them out. That's an interesting thing. It's not exactly kavod ames to have these guys being schlepped out by long sticks, but apparently it's kavod ames enough that we're going to only send the Levim and not the Kohanim. That's Rabbi Eliezer. If they shamar kasev kuv savar shayu b'chutz l'chein, you didn't have to worry about it. And I thought there's maybe a different Ramban someplace else in the parak where it discusses that the sons of Aaron. In the next Ramban, where he discusses the acts of the avoda, the acts of the avelus, which are not supposed to do. So those commands are given to everyone. Those commands are given not just to Aaron, but to his sons as well. So why is it given to the sons as well? So the next Ramban, and it's a long one, and we're beginning to run out of time, but the next Ramban points out that the Aaron's sons were mishuchim. Aaron's sons were anointed. If they were anointed, perhaps they had the halacha of a kohen gadol that day. So therefore, not only was Aaron not permitted to participate in this, but the sons of Aaron were not permitted to participate in this, and that explains why instead of Aaron, his first cousins went and took care of the dead, because Aaron, Elazar, and Itamar all had a status of a Kohen Gadol over the course of that day. There's other stuff to discuss in that Ramban, but I think I'd rather do a little bit further on into the Perek. There is a interesting machlokas here about that the Ramban had. The Ramban quotes about the prohibition of serving Hashem when you had yayin v'shechar. So what is shechar? Is shechar other types of wine, or is shechar other types of booze? So that the Ramban points out that that's a machlokas rishonim, whether the isur d'oraisa applies to to any type of drunkenness. Of course, and what about the ways of getting intoxicated? Not via libations. Well, how would that fit in? Perhaps that might also be part of that machlokas. Or is it strictly, or the issue of rice is strictly having to do with wine? Okay, so we get to this end this machlokas that appears at the very end of the parak. When Moshe turns to Aaron, and Aaron's sons actually, and starts getting agitated, says, "Nu, right, darosh, and pasuk tazayin, Moshe v'nei sarah, right, it's burnt, right, he gets angry at Elazar and Itamar, the sons of Aaron, nu, hanosarim." By the way, that's that line of hanosarim, that we pointed out when we went through it yesterday, the extra ones, that is how we learn out that Nadav and Avihu were on much higher levels than Elazar and Itamar. They assume that they were the higher levels, but these are the leftover ones. Right? So it actually uses that term leftovers to say that, oh, Nadav and Avihu were considered to be on the higher level. So what is their machlokes? So Moshe turns to them and says, "Nu, you guys should bring these karbanos." And they, and Aaron responds by saying, "No, what do you mean? To eat those karbanos on today? How can we possibly eat those karbanos today?" So what was their indication that how did he know? How did either one know? So the Sforno explains. So you go to the Sforno on Pasuk Yates, so where he says, "Hayitev b'nei Hashem," is it really correct in Hashem's eyes? Would that have been good in Hashem's eyes for us to eat the meat? That's what Aaron says. So shenech al kachshei daros ba'aninos, that we should eat the kachshim for all generations when we're aninon. Now, we did have a command of Moshe to eat something. Where was that command to eat something? So that is earlier in the parak, in Pasuk Yud Beis. Moshe says to Aaron, right, and says, "Take the mincha and eat from the korban mincha." He never actually says eat the, and he says, "And wave the other korbanos." He doesn't say to eat it. So why not? Why is he not? Because that's probably the message that Hashem gave Moshe. Right? Hashem told Moshe, "Hey, make sure that they eat the korban mincha, and that they don't eat." Right, and that they don't eat those karbanos. Oh, sorry, and that they wave the karbanos. Conspicuously absent is eating the karbanos. So Moshe assumed that they would be eating the karbanos as well, while Aaron assumed that they wouldn't be, and that's their machlokas. So Sforno says, "Vayishnecha kashi doros baninus halu davar yadua hu she'ein achilas onim bekavana ruya l'chaper," that the eating of an onim is not going to be successful. Moshe's impression was that you need to eat it in order for us to get the appropriate kapara. Aaron's response is, "We won't get you the appropriate kapara if we eat it." Why? It's a beferish pasuk in Devarim. Now, Devarim is not going to be written for another 40 years. But still, it's a beferish pasuk there, where it says, "Ka'amru b'kachim kalim," that we say by kachim kalim, "Loach kalti bi'oni mimenu." Do we know where that is? Loach kalti bi'oni mimenu? That's in the, what's it called? That's in the Vidui Meiser. The Vidui Meiser, when we come and say, I tried to do the best I can, I didn't violate any of the sanctified things. Lo achalti, I didn't eat it, bi'oni, while I was an onain. So Aaron is saying, Moshe, we're not allowed to eat it. But even though you told us to eat the korban mincha, esa mincha, he bekachei shah. Lo yischayiv ze bekachei doros. The korban mincha is a one-day thing. The korban mincha is a today, because it's a sanctification of the Mishkan. That's a special korban, only a one-time deal. But the korbanos that are going to be ledoros for all generations, Aaron says, that there's a prohibition on those. What's that prohibition? You're not permitted to eat it. Baninus. To which Moshe says, "You're right. He was happy, and by the good logic shown by his brother and by his sons, that they were good and they saw and they figured out how to paskin. Moshe was impressed and he was happy that he had others that would be able to darshan out the halacha. Moshe realized that they were right. Okay, I guess we'll stop here and figure out some halachos to talk about on this parak. Yirtzeh Hashem on Monday. Have a good Shabbos.